Your name. Amen. I believe it's in C. How many come to bless His name tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. He's so worthy tonight. We just want to bless that lovely name tonight. Hallelujah. I bless Your name. I bless Your name. I give You all. The light, the truth, the way. I bless Your name, Lord. We bless Your name tonight. I bless Your name. In prisoner's chain, with bleeding stride. Reach out and pray. they will fall. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Let's sing it one more time now. I bless your name. Bless your name tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you tonight that we could come together to bless your name. Praise the Lord. Lord, we praise you tonight. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. Good to see each one here. Just trust that you brought that liquor far with you tonight. He would just come in our presence tonight. We just desire for him to be here. Without him, we'll surely fail. Let's sing that song, What a Lovely Name, the Name of Jesus. And what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than thyest star. What a lovely name tonight. Hallelujah. And soon he'll come in clouds of glory. Hallelujah. Saints of every ring shall behold his rest. And had ever to acclaim glory. Oh, what a lovely name. It'll happen someday. Oh, yes. And what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless that name tonight, reaching out far than the brightest star. And it's sweeter than the song they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim, oh, what a lovely name. Could we sing it just a little bit more tonight? Oh, Yes, and what? Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the highest star, and this sweeter than the song they sing in heaven. Glory to God. About that name tonight. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Andrew to come tonight if he would as we take our prayer request. I actually don't have any on the platform tonight. Continue to pray for Brother Philip. Somebody help me. Sister Shirley having cataract surgery. I had something there I was trying to remember, but I can't remember it just now. Remember Sister Shirley with cataract surgery. Maybe tonight by an uplifted hand you have an unspoken request. Amen. I'm sure there's more requests tonight as we pray. We all have unspoken requests, and we just want to just bring those before Him tonight. And for the word tonight, as Brother Barry comes, we want to always pray for him. We always want to remember our brother Anwar and those in the foreign countries there, in Pakistan, those in South Africa, in Russia and around. God would just meet every need, take care of our people over there in those countries where there's so much turmoil and killings and envy and strife. And so let's just all pray tonight that God would just meet every need tonight. Whatever you may have, He knows that need tonight.
Let's bow. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence, Father, that we feel the minute we walk into this place, Lord, and the sweet presence that comes when you visit a place, Lord, where two or three are gathered in your name. Lord, tonight we're gathered in your name. We've come to worship your name, Lord, and to give you the praise and honor that's due to you, Father. And we just want to push all the distractions aside just for a short time this evening, Lord, and to focus on you and just to tell you how much we love you, Lord. Father, we also, at this time, just want to bring these needs before you, Lord, in these requests. And Lord, there may not be many written requests tonight, but nearly every hand in the building went up with a need, Father. And as long as we're trapped in these human bodies, we'll always be bringing needs to you. Lord, we're so thankful we can do that. Lord, as a body, we lift Brother Philip Carswell up before you and his he and his wife, Lord, and the need that's there. And Sister Shirley's cataract surgery, Lord, and if there were any others that were named that I've forgotten, Lord, you know each one. And Lord, for all the needs that are represented in this body tonight, we just lift those before you collectively and in faith, Lord, believing that we're children asking a father, Lord, and that you hear those needs as a father would a child's need. And there's a great confidence, Lord, that comes in doing that. And Father, we just want to dedicate the rest of this service to you as well, and ask you would anoint the musicians and the song leader and the worshipers, Lord, tonight. And ask you to anoint the lips of the speaker as he comes forth to deliver the word. And Father, we just give the rest of this evening to you, and once again want to tell you, Lord, how much we do love you and appreciate you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats tonight. Let's sing that chorus, "We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise." We bring the sacrifice of bread into the house. Prayer for his brother and sister, and I got that mixed up with some songs, brother, and I'm sorry I didn't get that, but just remember that request. Brother Matt's going to sing for us tonight at this time.
Yeah, pray for me. I may still have a little congestion left over from my cold, so if you know it, sing along. I'm sorry, it's gonna be too. marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled, God's grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace that is greater than all our sin. Oh, sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss, grace that is greater, yes, grace untold. Oh, it points to our refuge, the mighty cross. Oh, it's grace, God's grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, God's grace that is greater than all our sin. Oh, dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Sing it with me. God's grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, God's grace that is greater than all my sin. Oh, it's marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace that is greater than all my sin.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Matt. Let's stand as our ushers come tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ask Brother Tom if he would pray over the offering tonight. Let's sing that song, God is good all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. He puts a soul of praise in his heart and mind. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is God is good all the time. Oh yes, God is good all the time. Since all the praise in my heart of mine, God is good all the time.
God is good, God is good all the time. One more time. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, light will shine. God is good. Shine, God is good. God is good all the time. Let's take your Bible if you don't mind. We're going to go straight to the Word of the Lord tonight. We welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus, Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Second screen. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We'd like to read just one verse there. Before we read, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege and an honor, greatly blessed beyond measure to be able to stand in your presence tonight. We know, Lord Jesus, there is a measure of protection for every believer that stands in Christ tonight. Lord, there are blessings that are given to us just because we are part of the family. And I pray, dear God, for healing for all those who need it tonight. Pray that you would be the encourager and that you'd be the comforter, that you'd be the Prince of Peace to each and every heart. Heavenly Father, we commit this time into your hands tonight, praying and asking that your Holy Spirit would draw near to each one of us, Lord. And we ask forgiveness for anything that would be contrary to the Holy Spirit in any way at all, Lord. In any way we've acted, or maybe some ways we've reacted, Lord, and maybe said some things or done some things, Lord, that would be displeasing to you. Heavenly Father, we know that eternal life is something that is neither earned or it's not a reward of any kind, Lord. We know that eternal life is something that you decided and you chose a long time before we ever did right or wrong. But Lord, we want to conduct our lives and we want to live in such a way that every day we can say, Lord, that we have done our very best. And we want to live in a way that's pleasing to you. So Father, we pray that you would help us to accomplish that. And Lord, we give ourselves to you afresh tonight. Bless the people who are not here and minister to the hearts of all those who are here and those who are listening. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thy fathers, verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 22. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. 70. That's Jacob and his children. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. Let me give you a little, just a very quick little update here. And I didn't send out an update this week, but Sister Shirley Lingle had surgery this Monday. We want to remember her in prayer. Stephen Coffey's not here tonight. He's ministering up in Virginia. Sister Becky, if you don't mind, I'd ask you to remember her in prayer. She is she had to go to the doctor today for an x-ray on her foot, which is not healing up very well. So we sure want to remember her in prayer. It's been very painful for her and very difficult. And so we want to hold her up in prayer tonight. It's good to have all of you back that were not here on Sunday evening. And we always miss you when you're not here. And it's always good to have you back with us again. In service. You're always missed. Even if I don't mention your name and don't get around to saying your name and so forth, you're always missed. I can always tell when folks are here, not here. We appreciate each and every one of you. Let's take your Bible tonight, and we're going to look in the Scripture at a couple of things here tonight. And I want to do something that I rarely ever do, and that is to bring a conclusion to something. The series that I usually start, they tend to blend into something else, or you know, they go on in a protracted kind of a way. But I wanted to conclude this tonight, the present truth, and I'll tell you why in just a moment here, and so that we can move on. But I wanted to draw this to a close tonight. Let me do a very, very quick review here because this has been spread out a little bit. It's been a while since I talked a little bit about this subject here, the present truth. We have, as we know, a vertical relationship between ourselves and God. When I began this series, I talked about this scripture here, where Peter says that we should give diligence to make our calling and election sure. That is this, and I make this motion here because it's our relationship with God, and that's a personal, solitary thing. That's not anybody else's business. That is the indication. Joel, good to have you back. Good to have you with us. That is not anybody else's concern, and neither can you go in because of anybody else's personal relationship with God. There are no grandchildren in God's economy. So therefore, everybody has to have this one-on-one communion with Christ. And that's what the new birth is all about. Peter says, "For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." So there is this element that every one of us needs to have this walk with God. Whether you're in this church or any other church, that's inconsequential. What's important is that every one of you have a relationship, a communion with Christ on your own. Secondly, we have a responsibility to the world around us. And when I say that, Paul himself described himself in the role that he had, of course, as an apostle and one who would contend and he would teach and he would preach and he would travel. He would represent the kingdom. And he said that he was set in defense and confirmation of the gospel. So there are people who will ask questions and there are people who will debate. There are people who will contest. And there are people who will violently oppose the gospel, and we have a responsibility to have an answer for the hope that lies within us. So when I refer to this motion here, it is that horizontal relationship that you have with the world. Now, don't think it's strange concerning the position that you're in, because God needed to have somebody in the trucking industry. God needed to have somebody in the logging industry. God needed to have somebody in your street. God needed to have somebody in your job. God needed to have somebody in your school to represent the kingdom. You got to remember that you live in Satan's Eden, right? You're not living in a perfect utopian kind of a situation. You're living in Satan's Eden. But God knew that if we were going to be here and conditions were as bad as they are morally and spiritually and emotionally, He knew that all of those things would be happening. God therefore had to equip His representatives of the kingdom and give them a message that would sustain them and empower them in the time that they live in order to be an effective witness. Are we okay? So in order for you to be a good witness, God had to give you that which you need to be a good witness wherever you are. But remember, you are an ambassador. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. You're not just a student, and you're not just a truck driver, and you're not just a cook and a cleaner. You are a representative, an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. So God placed you in a certain place to represent the kingdom, and also to be a witness and a testimony of the light that God has sent in this last day, and to reflect the nature and character of Christ in whatever situation you find yourself in. So there are things that go wrong at your work. There are things that don't get done the way that they're supposed to. There are situations you run into in school. There are challenges you face in school and with your friends and peers. When it comes to gym uniform or participation in certain events or whatever else that you run into, remember, God is always watching you to see how you react, and He wants you to react according to the Word of God. That's why we go through this process called adoption, right? And we want to learn to do things the Father's way. We don't always get it right. That's why school takes as long as it does, right? You kids that are in grade school, all the way to high school, it takes, you know, quite a number of years to get it all done. And in our lives as well, God is not afraid to let us go through things over a period of time so that we learn. So we have a horizontal, we have a vertical relationship, and in the horizontal, we have to make sure that we are representatives of the kingdom and have an answer for the reason of the hope that lies within us. At the end of the day, and this is why I'm finishing this up here, Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of signs falsely so called. That word keep there is a great word. And I didn't put the definition of it on the screen here, but it literally means this. Timothy, hold on to what you have, what God's given to you, so that nobody can snatch it away. That's literally what he's saying. Timothy, the truths and the revelations and the blessings that God has given to you, hold tight to them. Don't let them go. Don't let somebody pluck them away. Don't let somebody rob you of them. Don't let somebody trip you up and cause you to let them go. Hang on to what God's given to you and add to it and add to it and add to it until you come into that stature of a perfect man. Is that all right? So that's what he's telling Timothy to do. At the end of the day, you want to have everything that God has given to you, and you want to avoid, listen now, you want to avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called. Now, if any of you were in a graduate program and you earned your master's, I think some of you have earned your master's here. If you earn your master's, you have to do a thesis. And a thesis is a statement where you will declare something and then you would set about to defend that. You would write a document that defends that. And if somebody comes along and opposes that, they're going to write what's called an anti-thesis. So if I make a declaration and say that I believe that Malachi 4 was fulfilled by William Branham and his ministry, that's my thesis, and I say that. And somebody comes along and says, no, I don't think that that's true at all. I think that that is an anointing on the school of the prophets in the last days. It's not an anointing on one man. That would be an anti-thesis, right? In English, we refer to that word as an antithesis, an anti-thesis. Okay? Are we all right? Some of you scholars know what I'm talking about here. The antithesis means the placing of a sentence or one of its parts against another to which is opposed to, which it is opposed to form a balanced contrast of ideas. So an antithesis is an opposite idea. Okay? Now, take that definition. Let's put it back in the scripture verse again. Timothy, keep or hold on to, don't let anybody pluck it away, That which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. There will be people who will come along and they will be professing, which the next verse assures us of, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. So he says that there are some people who will be professing, but they will have erred concerning the faith because they're bringing a contrary statement. And this statement is an antithesis to what God says, what the scriptures declare. They will be assigning it their own meaning. They'll assign the word of God their own meaning. Paul tells Timothy the way to deal with this is to avoid it. Look in the verse here. Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. I'm pointing to the words here. And I realize, you know, that doesn't really help. The only person that helps is me. But I'm pointing right at it. I don't see why you can't see it. Timothy, avoid profane and vain babblings. Just avoid it. Because when people come and they have oppositions, so-called, they feel like they have an argument and they have something that they can present here that contradicts what it is that God has said in this last day and is clearly vindicated by God, then Paul says, hey, we'll avoid that. That's why I'm bringing this to a conclusion tonight, because we will always have oppositions to what we believe. They will always be there. And I don't want to spend my time and energy debating them. I don't want to spend my time just, on Facebook going back and forth or on the internet going back and forth. Hey, there are some things that you're just going to have to accept by faith. There are some things that do not always have a logical conclusion, and neither do they have a bounty of evidence to prove whether they are true or not. Let me tell you something. There were no witnesses when Brother Branham was out there and spoke squirrels into existence. There were none. Nobody was there, only Brother Branham. He's the only one who saw it. He's the only one who was there and shot him. He was the only one. Either believe it or you don't. Right? I can't do anything. If I brought in a dead squirrel skin that was 40 or 50 years old and brought it here in the pulpit and showed it to you, you'd probably think I shot that 40 years ago. Right? Or John Anthony shot it off a tree at his house over there. We would think maybe someone else shot it. No, but in other words, that wouldn't be a real proof. There really is nothing that we can give you that would declare that that is true. But you know what? I believe it anyway. I guess it would be just like Noah standing in front of the people and saying, it's going to rain. And Noah, can you come up with one thing that would suggest that what you're saying is true? Nope, can't do it. And he got up the next day and kept building on the ark and kept building on the ark because he believed it was going to rain. You know why? Because God said so. So there will always be anti-arguments. There will always be contrary statements. There will always be an antithesis to what God says. Paul's saying there comes a point where you have to just avoid it. You're just going to have to go around it because it turns into profane and vain babblings. Now, that doesn't mean, though, and I think this is an interesting and a serious point all at the same time. We can't just say, okay, we're not going to argue with anybody. We're not going to discuss the message with anybody. So therefore, everything that is said is absolutely true. I need you to understand that God's word is always true, right? The Bible is always true. Do you believe that? Brother Branham was a prophet. Do you believe that? And I think it's important for us not to kind of turn a blind eye to everything and all the arguments and just say, well, Brother Branham said it, so therefore it's true. There are some things that are important for us to search out and to know and to be able to defend. And I'm not suggesting that we just say, okay, well, you're an unbeliever, so therefore you're going to go to hell and that's it. And I'm not going to argue with you anymore. It is really pointless to get into a protracted, long, drawn-out argument with somebody who doesn't want to believe. But there are people who have legitimate questions, and we need to be able to have a proper answer for people who have proper questions. No problem with that at all. After all, we are witnesses, right? And witnesses tell the truth. They tell the truth, and they tell it over and over again. And the real benefit of having a witness around is that the witness tells the same thing over and over, doesn't change to it, doesn't add to it, doesn't take away from it. And if you're a witness of the visitation of God in your own personal life and the truth of the message of the hour, then we ought to be able to say things to people and say it over and over again. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. If you tell people how you got your candle lit, tell them the story. Tell you can tell it again. Tell it again. And tell it to however many people that you encounter. So it's important for us to have a belief system that we can understand and that we can also share with somebody else. I always tell people when it comes to doing legal documents and whenever it comes to signing contracts or whatever else, I always encourage people whenever they're in a situation where maybe they're entering into a deal, maybe a business or getting out of a business or doing something legal, that they never sign a document until they can tell me what that document actually says. And then without reading it, I mean, they've read it, but if they understand it and they can repeat what's on that document to somebody else, then that's a good time for you to sign that document. But if you don't know what that document says, I'd be hesitant about signing that because you don't know what's on there, right? Now, let's just do this. Let's just approach it this way. In a message called Jezebel Religion, Brother Bram says, when God sends a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, he's speaking corporately now or nationally, then he withdraws his servant and sends his plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically also. And he says, you watch for a depression, brother. You haven't seen nothing yet. You think that you're dying for a good spiritual revival and you wait till after a bit. And you just wait till long after and cry to hear the word of God. And the Bible says that there'd be a famine in the last days, not for bread and water alone, but for the hearing of the true word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere, hid away. So the principle or the point is that God is always faithful to send the message before judgment. And when people accept it, they are blessed. And God has his messenger. He's hidden away somewhere. The world might not understand it nor accept it. But God's people get the message. But the people who reject it, there's a consequence for rejecting that message. And it comes in many forms. It is manifested temporarily through the ages, but in the last day, it winds up in tribulation. It winds up in the manifestation of tribulation, all right? So the principle is, when God sends it, we all are responsible to make a decision about it. We either believe it or we don't. But there's no halfway. We know that, as we mentioned before in the book of Peter, that he says we should sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we never say, we never respond to somebody in arrogance. We never respond to somebody and say, ha ha, I'm in and you're not. We never do that. But rather we realize that every one of us, if we are in, we are in by the grace of God. You're not in because of your works. You're not in because of your birth. You're not in because of your mom and dad. You're in because of the grace of God and the election of Almighty God. That's why you're in. So when somebody asks me, I want to be able to share with them what it is that's happened in my life. What's brought about the change? Why do I not participate in things like the world does? And why do I get so excited about the things that are taught in the Bible and so forth? Those are the things that we want to share with people. You don't have to be a preacher to do that. Every one of us need to participate in that. Now, I'm leading to somewhere now, so stay with me. In the message, It Becometh Us to Fulfill All Righteousness, Brother Bram said that no one knew that there was coming a flood, and the rains would pour out of the skies like rivers opening up, although it was firmly against scientific matters in that day. And the scientists no doubt criticized Noah and said, we can scientifically prove to you that there's no water up there. And they were great scientists. They could prove that there was no water there. But it was becoming to Noah after he knew the plan of God, hammered away on the ark, for he knew that only that ark would be the thing that would float. And no matter if it was scientifically proven that there was no water there, if the word of God had said it would rain, it's going to rain. Amen. So again now, at the end of the day, this is really what it comes down to. God's word is going to be fulfilled, and someone's going to fulfill it. Even if there are people who have antithetical arguments against what we believe, somebody's going to fulfill it. It's going to happen just the way that God says, right? And there's nothing going to stop it. There's nothing going to hinder it. God's word's going to come to pass. You just got to be sure that you're believing God's word. That's the important thing. Again, a couple of statements here. Again, do you believe Brother Bram said that he would have anything to do with a hypocrite? Jesus, would he have anything to do with a hypocrite? No, sir. Do you believe he'd associated himself in lies? Not our God. But God, our God, is responsible for what's on the internet. No. God is not responsible for what you can or cannot find on Google. God is not responsible because God didn't choose that to preach the gospel. God didn't choose the Son to preach the gospel. God didn't choose a system to preach the gospel. God's word comes to prophets. That's God's pattern, right? That's God's way. So therefore, if we're going to find out if what is happening is truly prophesied, we go back and find out what the prophets declared and see whether that is being fulfilled. It doesn't matter whether it shows up anywhere else, but if God's word is being fulfilled based on what God's prophet said, then let me tell you, that's God fulfilling his own word. That's God being his own interpreter. Brother Bram did a whole sermon in 1964, and God is his own interpreter, and he doesn't need any other interpreter because God speaks his word, and he interprets it. And I gave you this example out of Matthew chapter 3, one of many. In those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Why did John do that? For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah said that a messenger would come before the Messiah, and John is there fulfilling that part. Let me tell you, it didn't matter what any other denomination or any other intelligence said in that day. If Isaiah prophesied it and John is fulfilling it to the letter and God is vindicating that, then let me tell you, that's God speaking. It's nothing less than God speaking. Now, your choice is not to whether you can find another argument against it or another argument for it. Your choice is whether you're going to believe John or not. That's your choice. But now today we live in a very scientific age like it was in the days of Noah. So people want to have multiple proofs. They want to have lots of evidence. They want to have, they're comfortable when a large group of people concur. They're comfortable when the mainstream is for it and people don't have to go against the current. Let me tell you, if you haven't realized it, you're in a current, all right, but you're not going with the flow. You're against the flow. As long as you stay with this message, you're against the flow, because we are not flowing with the rest of the religious people in this world and the evangelical world. There are some things that we have in common. Obviously, we believe the Bible and so forth, not to the same extent, but there are some things that we have in common. But I will assure you that it is important that you realize that God has called you out as a member of the bride of Christ. He hasn't called you out as a member of the church. He hasn't called you out just to be a part of the evangelical movement or white Protestant America. He has not called you for that. He's called you as a member of his bride. And his bride has received a unique message in this last day. And that is not with the flow. There are a lot of things that are unique to us, and a lot of things that we believe that people don't like at all. Let me start right in the book of Genesis and what happened in the Garden of Eden there. And you can drop off at the, or you can take up the issue of the Trinity or however you want to do it. There's a lot of things that separate us for sure. Now, so let me just stand back for a moment here and give you a few scriptures that illustrated a point here to us. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Moses is teaching the people before they go into the promised land this principle. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. God brought you out. God is going to bring you in. You shall serve him. You shall cleave only unto him. And if you do anything, you'll do it in his name. For he is thy praise, he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70. And now the Lord God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Stay with me now. God is telling the children of Israel here through Moses in Deuteronomy, that now, since the time that Abraham was given the promise, that your seed will sojourn in a land for 400 years, and I will send the mighty deliverer down to bring you out. When you arrived in Egypt, there was only 70 of you. Jacob was there, the sons were there, and their families. And they arrived and they stayed in Goshen, and that's when Joseph was the premier or the prime minister of the country of Egypt. And when God brought you out, you were only 70. But now look at you, there's a multitude of you here, and you are now this great multitude because God saw you as that, and God shared that vision with Abraham. You remember when he told Abraham, look up in the sky and see if you can count the stars, or look on the beach and see if you can count the numbers of sand, grains of sand that are there. He said, Abraham, your seed's going to multiply into numbers like that, unimaginably large numbers. You'll become a great nation. And there'll be multitudes that will come out of you, Abraham. And God saw those people. They were not just stars or flecks of sand, but God saw them as the children of Abraham. They were the seed of Abraham that would come. And God was looking at those people, right? God was looking at those multitudes, and he said, that's the people that I see that would come. And here are the people now that are standing there that are the fulfillment of that promise. And Moses is letting them know, God saw you, and God told Abraham about you. And he says, so therefore, don't cleave to any other god, and don't worship any other god. Don't fear any other god. You just fear the one true and living God, because God saw you, and now you're living proof of that vision. You are now living in the fulfillment of that vision that God gave to Abraham. Now your part is being played. Now you are living in that moment now that Abraham saw. And he said, I want you to make sure that you reserve yourself in every way for that one particular principle that is true, that is God. Here is the scripture verse that God gave Abraham in Genesis 15. This is God now speaking to Abraham. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. He said, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he's speaking about Ishmael here. He said, Ishmael shall not be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And down in verse 13, he says in the same chapter, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them, which means humiliate them. They will be in bondage for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. Now, Moses is telling the people in that verse that we just read back there in Deuteronomy 10, that you are the people that Moses saw. Whether you realize it or not, whether you can grasp it or not, you're living in the vision now that God gave to Abraham. This is the vision that God gave to Abraham. You're looking at on the board here. Stay with me now. This is the vision. That's what God saw, and he told Abram back then. And Moses now, he's in the promised land, or on the edge of the promised land. He's telling the children of Israel they're about to enter in. And he tells them, you are the people that God saw in this vision. And he showed to Abraham. He said, you are that people that are the fulfillment of that vision. Whether you realize it or not, you're living in that vision today. Amen. Now, let me switch around a little bit here and talk about something a little bit more modern. In 1962, Brother Bam tells this story. You're very familiar with it, perhaps. Some of you are great hunters, great fishermen, great groundhog trappers. Brother Bam said, I like to hunt. My conversion never took that out of me. I'd like to tell you a little story about hunting, where he told me what I was going to do and where I'd go. A caribou I'd get where he'd be laying, and a man would have a green checkered shirt on and would kill a grizzly before I got back. He said, went right there, and Eddie, who's referring to Brother Biscoll, heard me tell it the day before we left down there. 2 days later, he stood there and seen every bit of it come to pass as I did, and I said the horns would be exactly 42 inches high. Now listen to me. When I heard this story, when I read that, I was out in Vancouver, and I sat down with Brother Biscoll one time, and I asked him, I said, can you tell me what it is that Brother Branham told you? Tell me the story Brother Branham told me. He said, it was just like that. He said, he gave me the details about the hunt, And he said we would go. There would be Brother Branham and Billy Paul, Bud Sothwick and his two sons would join him and would be with him from the Alaskan Highway. And he said, then I would be there and another brother would be there. And he said that we would. Somebody in the vision that he had of this caribou would have a shirt that had green checkers on it, green and black checkers on it. And he gave me the details of what it is that Brother Branham told him on the telephone. And when Brother Branham was arranging to come up for the meeting, and you remember the Full Gospel Businessman called Brother Branham and invited him to come to Alaska to open up a chapter. And he said, well, I'll let you know, I'll pray about it. And he thought to himself, that must be the vision of that bear. And he prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go. And so he waited, and then finally Brother Biscoe called him up and said, would you come up and hold some meetings for the people up here in Fort St. John and some other places that where Brother Biscoe was up ministering in that area? And he says, and afterwards we can go for a hunt. And the Holy Spirit gave him the green light, and so he packed and was ready to go. So Brother Branham told Brother Biscoe on the phone, gave him these details and said, we were on a hunt, these men were there, some of them went one way, I went another way, this silver-tipped grizzly was off in the distance, and me and Bud Sothwick were there, and I shot him, one shot, and he said the bear came rolling down to my feet, and he says then another caribou was shot, 42 inches long was the horns, and he said they were holding the tape there, and somebody with a green checkered shirt on put their hands on there, and said it was 42 inches. And so Brother Branham told Brother Biscoe this on the telephone prior to coming up. When he came up, Brother Biscoe told me this, so when Brother Branham arrived at the airport, Brother Biscoe's father-in-law was with him at the airport when Brother Branham arrived. And they went to a place to get a coffee, get a restaurant, and Brother Branham proceeded to tell the whole vision again, to tell the whole hunting story again. And Brother Biscoe was there, and the father-in-law was there. He wasn't going to be on the hunt, but Brother Branham told the story complete from with all the details in it again. And then when they went to the services here in 1962, and they went to the services up in the eastern British Columbia, Brother Branham gets up in the pulpit, tells the whole story again. He describes it, gives all the details as he does here in more detail, and you can listen to it on tape. He gives all the details. That's the third time now Brother Biscoe heard it. Once on the phone, once in the restaurant, once in the church. And then he said, we went on the hunt. Services were over. Brother Sothwick was there. Blaine Sothwick was there. There was some other brothers who were there along for the trip, and they're all going, and they're all sitting around in the campfire. They're up in the north there, up in northern British Columbia, and they're sitting around the campfire. Brother Branham says, let me tell you the vision. And he shares the vision again. Fourth time, Brother Biscoe heard it personally from Brother Branham. And he said, we were there in the hunt, and he said we were moving around that day, and he said we had gone, himself and Blaine had gone one way, and Brother Branham and Bud Sothwick, they like to go together, and they were gone in another way. And you know the story, Brother Branham shooting the bear, and he shoots the bear with one bullet, you know, and Brother Sothwick didn't believe that he could shoot the bear with that one rifle, and Brother Branham said, well, the vision said one shot, and he said this was the rifle, so he shot him, you know, and Brother Sothwick was ready, he's, you know, just making things right with God, because he knew what it was like, you know, with those bears, and let me tell you, those bears are not easy to kill. You read the stories of Lewis and Clark as they traveled across the country the first time, and a white man went across there under the commission of Thomas Jefferson, and they went across and they saw these grizzly bears, and they wrote about the grizzly bears in their diary. And they said these were strange animals because we couldn't shoot them. We couldn't kill them. He said we'd shoot them, and we'd shoot them, and we'd shoot them, and we'd shoot them, and we couldn't kill them. He said the only thing we had to do was to get in the middle of the river where the bears wouldn't come, and we had to shoot them in the head continually, and then they'd die. They said that's the only way. And these bears are extremely tough animals. And they're just a muscle. That's all they are, one big muscle. And so when Brother Branham in this vision shoots this bear, it's one bullet. And drops this grizzly bear, and it rolls down, you know, and comes to Brother Branham's feet there. And, you know, that was a fulfillment of the vision. And then that Brother Biscoe said that same day, he said they were out there, and they shot that caribou. And he says they laid down the horn, the tape on the horns there. And Brother Biscoe, he says he's helping with the tape, and he kind of lays his hands on the horns there to hold the tape in place to measure it, because it's got to be an accurate measurement for all the people who, you know, who've measured those things. And he puts his hands on right there, and he said, I never realized, this is what he told me, he said, I never realized anything about the vision until Brother Branham stood back when I laid my hands there and somebody said, 42 inches. Brother Branham stood up like this because they were all gathered around this caribou, and Brother Branham stood up and put his hand up like this and he said, that's it. That's the vision. And Brother Biscoe said it dawned on him that this is the vision that Brother Branham had told four times in the last couple of days. He had told him in detail, but it was so natural a thing, and it was so just such a normal, natural series of events that he never realized he was actually living in that vision. It was just an unfolding of events there, and he never thought about the green checkered shirt. He'd heard the story four times, and he never realized it was in his pack, and he just took it out that day because he'd gotten wet and put this shirt on and so forth. And here he is wearing it all day long and doesn't realize, I've got a green checkered shirt on. I've got a green checkered shirt. It doesn't register. He's on a hunt out there. He's got his mind on other things. And just in a normal course of events, he's laying his hands on those horns just like anybody would. And Brother Bram says, that's it. That's the vision. And then he realizes, I've been living in this vision all this time and never even realized it. Now, saints of God, let me help you to understand something here, because we're talking about this present truth here in this last day, that there has to be a people in the last day. There has to be a people that are the bride of Jesus Christ, that are fulfilling what God promised there would be in the last day. There has to be a believer and a make-believer and an unbeliever, and there has to be a nominal church, and there's got to be a foolish virgin and a wise virgin. All of those parts had to be fulfilled. And whether you realize it or not, because you're just coming to church on a Wednesday night, and you're here, just listening to me rant about stories and putting things on the screen here and going on and on and on about things over and over again. Let me tell you something. Let me assure you something. Brother Branham said in many different places, Brother Branham said when he saw things there, he knew they would come to pass. And he said, and when them women passed by, remember he saw that church that came to the horizon and it went down. He said she passed by all kinds of rock and roll and short hair, painted faces, and they passed by, supposed to be virgins to Christ. And when she passed by like that, I turned my head. And I heard something else coming, like, onward Christian soldiers. And I looked, and here come that sainted bunch of little girls, all correctly dressed, and their hair hanging way down and clean, and marching like this to the step of the gospel. And she was, say it with me, she was the Word. She was the Word. That's who she was. She was the Word. And it looked like one out of every nation there. It was a vision that represented the bride of Christ all around the earth. And guess what she was? She was the Word. She wasn't anything else but the Word. And she was dressed the same way as every other group out of every other nation there. Don't you understand? When Brother Bram saw her, he saw you. And you know what you're doing? You're marching towards eternity right now in beat and in constant motion and step in harmony with the Word of God. And that's what we do. We're all, every day, our lives are just trying to get in harmony with the Word of God, moving towards that dimension every day. Brother Branham was not looking at some denominational church. He looked at them going into tribulation. But when he saw a people that were walking in step with the revealed Word of the hour, he was looking at you. He was looking at me. Do you understand, saints of God? Here you are tonight living in the vision. Many times we don't even realize it. We're just thinking, well, I'm just going to church and I got homework to do when I get home, and I got problems and I got bills to pay and I got this and I got, my goodness, I got a deadline to meet and so forth. And you don't realize you're living in the vision, just like Moses said to those children of Israel when God brought Jacob here. It was only 70, but now look around. It's a multitude that's here now, because that's what God saw in the vision. And he says, you are that people that are fulfilled. Fulfillment of the vision here. You just think you're another movement and another people going into the promised land. You don't realize you're living in the vision that God gave to Father Abraham. And you don't realize, saints of God, tonight, you are the vision. You are the fulfillment. You are the literal coming to pass of what God saw in the last days would happen. Oh, I'll tell you what, when you just think about it for a moment here, I'm just looking for a little statement here, if I can find it. Let's look at this. You remember when God allowed the story of Joseph to come out in the book of Genesis here, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheep stood around about and made obeisance to my sheep. In other words, they bowed down. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for the words that Joseph gave them. They hated him because he said that. They hated him that there was even a suggestion that you, the younger brother, would be in a position of authority and we'd all have to bow down to you. Hey, there's no way. And they hated him because of that. But nonetheless, God has his way, because a little later up the road in Genesis 42, that when Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt and everybody was out of grain and the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he, it was said, was that sold all to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came, and guess what they did? They bowed themselves down to Joseph, right? They bowed themselves down to Joseph. And they didn't realize they were living in the vision that God had given to Joseph years and years before. And here they are bowing down to Joseph. A little bit later on, they come and they visit again. Genesis 43, and Joseph came home and they bought him the present which was in their hand in the house. And they bowed themselves again to him, to the earth. And here they are bowing down to Joseph, and they don't realize that they're living in the vision. They're fulfilling the thing that Joseph said. And they had sworn it would not happen. And they were determined that it would not happen. But it happened anyway. You know why? Because God said so. That's why it happened, saints of God. And I will tell you something. There's going to be a bride in the last day that is going to take the chains of our body. It's a bride that is going to be raptured and taken out of here. And I don't care what they say, and I don't care how determined people are going to say, you're not going to make it, I'll destroy you all. I'll destroy your church. I'll take your church and turn it into a warehouse. I'll destroy your character. I'll destroy your reputation and everything else. Let me tell you something. If you were in that vision, there ain't nothing going to stop you. How many of you agree that the bride's going to be there? Absolutely going to be there. And there's nothing at all going to stop. Nothing at all going to stop God's people from being there. Oh, I don't know where this statement's gone. It's Brother Bram said in the unveiling of God, he's right at the end of the sermon here in the unveiling of God, and he says the old badger skin, those denominations, is torn down. And he said, I've broken through that into the Shekinah glory. And I see the word, and I see the pillar of fire moving, and I see the word made manifest. And what he said he would do in the last days, I see it growing. And I see the children eating that Shekinah bread coming from the ripening of that word, which believes it. What a wonderful hour we're living in. Can I say it again? Do you realize what he's looking at? He's saying that I see the children here. I see the word, he says, opening up. As a prophet, you know, the word of the Lord comes to him and he's preaching things and he's saying things here that the rest of the people in the world at that particular time, they don't really understand what he's saying about future home and about the rapture and about modern events and about all the other mysteries that are being unveiled here. And to be honest, people in 1964 and 65 didn't really understand what Brother Branham was referring to. But he knew that he would be sowing that word of God in the earth, and it was recorded and it was captured, and there would be a group of people eventually who would come along, he says right here, which would believe it. And those people, watch now, he said, I see it growing. Because when you sow something by seed, it begins to grow, doesn't it? And he said, I see it growing, and I see the children eating on that Shekinah bread coming from the ripening of the word. How many of you would agree we're living in the days of the ripening of the word of God? It's not overripe. It's not underripe. It's not green and hard. Let me tell you something. We're enjoying the full bounty of the harvest that God prepared for the Gentile bride. We're living in the days of the ripening of the word. And when Brother Branham saw this vision right here, and he saw the people coming and feeding on that ripening word, which believes it, he's looking at people that would come to a church where the message is preached, and they would believe that, and they would be feeding on that Shekinah bread, and they would be glorying in that great revelation that God gives to them. Oh, let me tell you, saints of God, I don't have enough voice to say it. Brother Branham was looking at you. Brother Branham was looking at us here, listening to the message of the hour, listening to the unfolding of the truths and the mysteries that come out, service after service after service. Isn't that right? And watching people still be affected by it. People baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And young people coming to it. And also old timers still thrilled about the Word of God. I'll tell you what, still excited about it. There's a whole lot of things you could be doing on a Wednesday night. There's a whole lot of things you could be doing on a Sunday morning. But still we come and we get enthused about it. And I hear you saying, oh, the message just gets greater and greater. You know what that is? That's the ripening of the Word. That's the unfolding of the Word. And Brother Bram said, I'm preaching it. And there will be a people who will come along that believes it. And they'll be feeding on it, and they'll be rejoicing on it. And he knew that that word would take them right into glory. He knew that word would take them right home. He knew if they stayed with that, let me tell you, it doesn't matter how many detractors there are. It doesn't matter how much of an antithesis there is. It doesn't matter how many arguments there are. It doesn't matter how many websites are built against the truth of this message. It doesn't matter how many preachers come out and say whatever they want to say. It doesn't matter how many churches crack and split. It doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter even whether I make it or not. It matters that God said there would be a bride who would feed on the ripening of the Word of God. And whether they realize it or not, you're living in the vision that he had. You're living, you are the literal fulfillment of the Word of God for this hour. And it doesn't matter how many people will stand there and say, no, it isn't true. And there's a discrepancy here. And there's something wrong over here. I'll tell you what, I you know what I'm going to say to them? God said it's going to come to pass anyway. And whether I'm a part of it or not, or whether you're not a part of it, it doesn't really matter, because it's going to be a bride somewhere in the earth. And even if it's only a little group here, Brother Bram saw that group that was singing Onward Christian Soldiers, and they went up, and they went up, and they were all dressed together. And you know who they were? They were the Word. We read it tonight. They were the Word. They were not hypocrites, and they were not make-believers, and they were not people who just kind of hung around. They were the Word. They were the ones that had lift. They were the ones that had that step with rapturing faith in their heart, and they knew that somehow or another, this is it. This is the going home time. Let me tell you, saints of God, as you get lifted up and as you get built up in the most holy faith and you get excited about the things of God and you listen to a sermon and you listen to a message and it just thrills your heart, you know what you're doing? You're fulfilling this right here. He said, I see the children. Because in Brother Bram's day, in his old age, in his 50s there, and he was an Indian, he was from Indian descent. So when an Indian crosses 50 years old, they considered themselves to be senior citizens. And that's true. They considered themselves to be old people. I've talked to Indians, and they told me the same thing. So when Brother Bram passed 50 years, he said, I'm an old man. And that's why he said that, because he had an influence of the American Indian tradition in his life. His mother was a half-breed Indian, right? And so when Brother Bram said that, so here's Brother Bram saying, now I see the children. You know what? In 1964, I was 6 years old. 1964, I was 6 years old. I don't know where you were in 1954. Some of you were saying, wow, he was only six. And some of you are saying, wow, he's born in the 50s. I didn't know there was time back then. But whatever side of the spectrum you're on, listen to me when I say this. I was only 6 years old when he said that, naturally speaking. But back in 1964 and 65, Brother Branham knew that all of this that he was bringing, really, even though he was saying it in such a mature way, it was really like little seeds to little children back in that time. And he knew that eventually time would allow the word to mature and the people's understanding to mature with that. So that we began to finally understand what that prophet actually said. Because for a long time, all we ever knew was really that God had sent the prophet. But we never stopped to think about what that prophet actually said. And then finally, we all kind of grew up together and matured and came to the place where that bride and that word become one. And let me tell you something, saints of God. You're the generation that God chose to live and fulfill that vision right here. And a lot of times you think, well, I'm just coming to church. I've got to try to stay awake. And here I am, you know, Brother Barry's going on and going on service after service here. And, you know, I never get to sing and I never get to do this. Let me tell you something. In God's kingdom, there's no big I's and little U's. If you're a part of the body, you will be there as a part of the body. But God knew that there would be people who come in the last day who sat in the midst of the word coming open in a way that no other generation ever got to see. No other generation ever got to see it like you did. They saw miracles and they saw signs and they saw John Wesley's and Martin Luther's coming out of the Catholic Church, and they saw people living through the Dark Ages, and they saw the Apostle Paul, but nobody got to see the maturing of the Word like you did. And the opening of all those truths and the revealing of God and Revelation 10:7, all 1-7, all laid out and all revealed. No other generation, no other group of people ever got to do that. But Brother Bram said, there's little children out there, and one day they'll come and they'll sit in the maturing of that word and it'll open up. And he says, I see them. I know what's going to happen. I know that they're there. And you know what Brother Bram was looking at? He was looking at you and me. He's looking at you and me, living in the vision of that word unfolding today, and the people that would grow up to meet that word and to be able to enjoy it and understand it and be able to put it together and say, yes, yes, I'm a member of that number. I'm a member of that bride. I'm a member of that group here. And I'm coming to understand what my place is and to know my position in Christ, which is what adoption is all about. The present truth and the present bride have come together. The present truth and the present bride, you and this word have come together. And I will assure you, it doesn't matter how many people argue against it. It doesn't matter how many people criticize us from within or without. God's word's going to come to pass anyway. And there's going to be a people fulfill it. And nothing's going to stop it. Let's stand to our feet. I'll tell you what. I wish I had a little bit more voice, and I wish you had an extra hour. I wish you had an extra hour. We could say a few things. I'll tell you what, it's exciting to realize that you are just like those brothers of Joseph. They come in and they're doing things, and they're only doing it for survival. They don't even know why they're doing it. In the same way that Israel today is gathered back in the land, and they really don't even understand what's going on. I mean, they got enemies all around them, and people are standing with them, and then they're not standing with them, and people are for them, and then they're not for them, and all the, and they're standing there at the table, and they don't even realize really what's going on. But you know what? The Jews today in Israel, they're fulfilling the vision that all those Old Testament prophets said, one day he will regather. One day he'll gather them back in the land again. And they'll come back into their land and they'll come back and rejoice over the things of God, and the temple will be rebuilt. And they don't even know why they're there. And here they are living in the vision that God has given for this last day. The difference between them and us is that you've got a revelation of what God has done in this last day. Oh, I'll tell you what. Here's Brother Biscoe. He listens to the thing four times. Listens to it right from Brother Bram's mouth four times. And still it's so common and so ordinary. It's so natural a thing. Oh, I didn't even realize it until Brother Bram said, that's it. That's the vision. Then it dawned on him, that's it. I really do believe that one day we'll wind up in another body. I believe the step we'll take won't be some great big step where God's standing there saying, come and take the step. I don't believe it'll be that. I believe it'll be just another revelation on the message. It'll be another blessing, and we'll take a step, and one day we'll be in a new body. And we'll look for that ache and that pain, and we'll look for that scratch, that bald head, or you'll look to adjust your glasses and they won't be there. You'll be in a new body. And you'll realize, whoa, this is it. This is it, Brother Wayne. No more hearing aids, no more crutches, no more walking canes, no more uplifted shoes, no more enemies, no more problems, no more tears. And all of a sudden they'll realize, whoa, we are here. Glory to God, we are here. And you just thought it was a big event, and it's just another step in your spiritual walk. Just another step in your spiritual walk. You know why? Because whether you realize or not, you're living in the vision tonight. You're living in the vision. It's not for way off. It's not going to all happen one day. It's happening right now. And you're walking towards that horizon. And one day, you'll make that last step. Brother Bram said they went up. They were singing Onward, Christian Soldiers. And off they went into glory. Never came back. Hallelujah! Oh, let's sing it tonight. I believe God. I believe God. Ask what you will. It shall be done. Trust and obey. Believe it and say, I believe God. Oh, I believe God. Yes, I believe God. Be done. Trust and obey. Believe it and say, Once again now.
Oh, I believe God.
Ask what you will. Just an old A flat. A.
I believe God. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head.
Hold it, hold it. Bring me up one notch. I don't have any voice left.
Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return.
Sing that again now, that verse.
They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall carry you unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. From glory to glory he's changing me, yes he's changing me. His likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. For he's changing me from the earthly things to the heavenly, his likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. Once again, oh, from glory to glory his likeness and image to perfect in me, the love of God shown to the world. For he's changing, yes, changing me. Earthly things, the love of God shown to the world.
Moses says, when God brought you out, you were only 70. But now look at you. This is what Abraham saw. It's what Abraham envisioned. And now here you are. The people thought, well, you know, this is just another journey in the wilderness. No. No, this is the fulfillment of the vision. This is what God saw. I mean, don't look at it as another church service, just another gathering, just another, I just got to go again. Don't look at it that. Look at it, the children feeding on that Shekinah bread. Brother Bam said that it ripens, and to be a children grow up and they'll mature and they'll just latch onto that word, and it'll give them faith muscles, and one day those faith muscles will allow them to take that step into that dimension. Oh, glory to God. What a moment that'll be. I'm in that number.
Blood wash number, I'm in that number, rolled in white. That blood wash number, I'm in that number, rolled in white. John saw that number, that blood wash number, John saw that number, rolled in white. John saw that number, that blood wash number. John saw that number, rolled in white. I'm in that number, I'm in that number, that blood wash number. I'm in that number, rolled in white. I'm in that number, I'm in that number, I'm in that number, rolled in wine. Glory to God. Now remember, you got a horizontal relationship, right? You got to defend the gospel. But you know what? It's this relationship that's going to get you in. This one is going to provide the answers, but this one's going to get you in. So we don't want to spend all our time on this one. We want to make sure that we commune with Him. We want to make sure we walk with Him. And remember now, saints of God, that you're on the earth in the position you're in the school you're in the job you're in the town you live in. You're there to be a witness. You're there to be a representative of the fulfillment of God's word for this last day. And the people, even though they disagree with it and they might argue about it against it, hey, I got a reason for why I believe what I believe. And you need to tell people sometimes, you just need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because I can't give it to you. God alone is the one that holds the key to revelation. I'm glad I'm in that number. Amen. And I'm glad I'm on my way. I'm glad one day He's going to take His bride and take her all the way home. Let's sing a little chorus, Matt. More of You. I've had it all, but what I want is more of You. I think it's the same key. More of You. More of You. I've had it all, but what I need is more of You. I've had my fill, but yet I hunger still. Empty and bare, hear my prayer. You sing it again now. I want more. Make it your prayer now tonight. Yes, I want more of You. I've had it all. It's more of You. Of things I've had my. But yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of You. Sweet Jesus, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the promises that have been made. The visions, Lord, that You so clearly describe for us. Lord, those prophets back through time, they saw things and visions. They were lifted up and they saw things, Lord, from Your presence. And they knew that one day they would come to pass. And now, Lord, here we are in this last day, the children
that are growing up and coming into full adoption, and they realize there's been a word that's been planted for us. And Lord, now how we embrace that word, and that word gives us the faith and the strength we need to step from here into that dimension, Lord. And we will find that faith no other place, Lord. We'll never find it in a magazine. We'd never find it on the internet. We'd never find it on a TV screen. But Lord, you have put it in a spoken word format that is preserved for us. Lord, may we feed continually on that word until, Lord, our bodies are changed. Dear God, we may not even fully realize our part in this whole program, but Lord, we believe we are those children your prophet saw. I pray you'd help us, oh God, to recognize our day and its message, that, Lord, we might truly come to the place where our position is clear to us. Have your way, Lord, I pray, in every heart. Bring healing to all those who need it, especially those who need a real touch tonight, Lord. They might be reaching out tonight, and I just commit them to you. Pray that your mercies would be extended to them. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be living in the vision and to recognize that, Lord. We're not blinded to the day we're living in, but, Lord, we know truly we have come to this place because it has been spoken. And Father God, we just commit the people now into your hands. We pray your special blessing on Sister Shirley Lingle tonight, Lord. Sister Becky, so many others, Lord, who need that healing touch tonight. May your mercies be extended to them. Have your way, Lord, we pray among us. And until we meet again, we ask thy blessing upon the people. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Let you go tonight. Remember, communion is this Sunday night service.